It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
In fact, that's why we still gather as God's people on Sunday. Today we remember and we go back and we realize, as dark as it was on that Friday. And folks, it don't matter if you didn't take time to pause on Friday, you really should have, because what he went through, the hell he endured for us. And if he had been in that tomb today, then we could gather and we could memorialize and we could feel bad about ourselves, but because he lives, you see, we gather not in solemnness, but we gather in the celebration of those precious words, he's alive. So many of you said, how are you doing today? And my answer was simply this, because some days this is the best answer, probably every day, but I simply said, he's alive. And it don't matter what has been going on. Good, bad, or indifferent, he's alive. He's alive. And we're here to celebrate and to worship. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking our sin, and oh, how we want to worship you. May the power of your resurrection and now your holy presence fill us today and fill us now. May our hearts overflow in praise to you. We can never love you as much as you have loved us. But today, Lord, we want to try. Today, Lord, we want to open our lives wide open to you, to what you want to speak and say to us. We want to humble ourselves before you, that you would call us out, that you would lead us out. We want, Lord, that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open, our hearts would be open, that you would reveal your presence. Because, Lord, we know that that presence makes all the difference. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to God's house. Isn't it neat when God's people can get together to worship and praise? And so we do want to welcome you. And I love the fact that the Apostle Peter, once in a message that he preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, "You, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death, nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And so welcome, and like I say, we are here to worship and praise our Lord. And if you are visiting with us today, we certainly want you to feel welcome at home and join right in the celebration. And if you don't already have a place that you go on a regular basis, we hope today is not a one and done. We hope that you'll come back and be a part of what God is doing here in the church and what we believe God wants us doing in our community. Well, I got to tell you, one of the neatest things of Easter is when we get to sing out in worship and praise of Him. And that's what we're going to do right now, some of those great resurrection hymns. And Dr. Blank is going to come and lead us in a couple of them. So here we go.
As we join together in singing, we want to make just one statement. While we sing the second number, the children of our church up through first grade will be dismissed to go to their place of worship. Second grade and on through will stay in the sanctuary today. Joining together because He is alive, let's join in number 217 and raise our voices in great praise to our risen Savior. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sing with the joy of Christ in your life at this time.
Amen.
And because he lives, we serve a risen Savior, chained together.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly have so much to be thankful for. You've blessed us in so many ways. And today as we reflect especially on your love for us and that you sent your son Christ to die in our place and to be the sacrifice for our sins, Lord, I pray that you would remind us of this not only today but on a daily basis, and that we understand we have victory through the resurrection of Christ, that it's all made possible through what you've done and accomplished. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the many blessings you've given each and every one of us. And I pray now that as we give this portion back, Lord, that you would take it and that you would use it for your honor, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom, so that others may know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. my hands laugh at me. Where you stand, go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mock my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me. But very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll
ground. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, listen to what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever believes in me will never die. Go ahead. Say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead and try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people.
One of my all-time favorites. One of those days, you've had them, I've had them, maybe having one today, I don't know. You know, you get up and nothing, absolutely nothing goes at least the way that you had hoped it'd go or the way that you would plan it to go. Now, sometimes that's good, but at least in my experience of things, usually when you're having one of those days, it's not necessarily good. Well, it was one of those days, and it was one of those days they really had to hang on tight, because nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, went the way they thought that it was supposed to go. In fact, they'd had a week of those days, by the way. I mean, just a few days earlier, I'm talking about the disciples here, a few days earlier, remember, Jesus comes riding in to Jerusalem. Now, that was a festive day. We did that last week, you know, Palm Sunday, and we had some palm branches in here, and just imagine it, if you will. I mean, Jesus comes riding in, and they're waving palm branches, or they're taking their coats off and throwing him before him, and they're yelling, Hosanna, and it's one of those most powerful, beautiful moments. Okay, and that's what they thought it should be. See, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were ready for Jesus to tell the world that he was the Messiah, and Jesus was telling the world, but the thing that got them was the twist, what Jesus had to do to prove he was the Savior. Well, see, that blew their minds. Because the Hosannas simply and very quickly went to crucify him. And they watched him die. And he wasn't supposed to die. I mean, really, what were they going to do now? I mean, he wasn't supposed to be dead, but he was dead. And you know, I understand a little bit because, you know, sometimes God's doing things in ways that, well, it just don't make any sense to me. In fact, if I'm honest, and I'm not talking about being honest with you, I'm just talking about being honest with myself. If I'm honest with myself, there's times that God does things in ways that I think, you know, God, I don't think that's quite right. And I got to believe that they may have been thinking the same thing. God, this isn't right. Your son's not supposed to die, but he was dead. And so the women get together, and they're going to do what you do when someone that you love and care about dies because there wasn't a funeral director back then. So they gathered themselves together, and they were going to go do one final act of love. They were going to wrap his body in all the spices that they did back in the day. But they had one of those days, by the way, and this was a good one. All of a sudden, there was no body. There was just a couple of angels, and the angels were saying, he's alive. Wow, he's alive. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we read about what happened. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And if I didn't know better, I would have said, man, when they got back and started telling the apostles, hey, he's alive. He's not dead. They told us he's alive. There is no body in the tomb. See, I want to believe that the disciples instantly had faith and said, that's right. That's what our Jesus told us. But they didn't. In fact, they're thinking that maybe these women were hallucinating, maybe their minds were simply out of control with grief, but they're not convinced. It says they, and that's the disciples, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. It's like, no, Peter, not Peter. Come on, Peter. Don't wonder about this. You know what just happened. Or at least he should have. One of those days. I tell you, what a reversal of emotions they were about to have that day. Because soon and very soon, the Lord began to appear to them, and they realized that he was not dead, but that he was alive. And it changed the way that they lived, and they lived differently, not because they were gullible. believing some sort of wild tale about a dead man walking, but they lived differently because they absolutely knew with certainty that Jesus was alive. That's why when they got arrested and they were threatened and they were beaten, they weren't going to stop talking about Jesus. Didn't matter what happened to them, he's alive. That's why a man who once so adamantly opposed anything Jesus, I mean persecuted the church, all of a sudden turned around and began starting churches. We call him Paul. Look, the presence of the living Christ, see, that changes the way that we do life. Our mantra is simple, this. It's he lives. He lives. See, that's our faith, and that is our mission. There was once a long time ago a man by the name of Martin Luther, and he was having one of those days. Now, God used Martin Luther to really change the direction and even the complexion of the church because he took a stand against some corruption in the church that was going on at the time. And at that particular moment in the 1600s, that was a lethal thing to do. All right? You just didn't do it. But he took his stand not because he hated the church. He loved the church, but more importantly, he loved the Lord of the church. And at one point, when things were simply more than he could bear, and he was having some doubts, I mean, it was just one of those days. And a friend noticed him writing something with his fingertip on the tabletop. It would be transposed for us, V-I-V-I-T. V-I-V-I-T. Over and over again. Vivit is Latin for he lives. When you're having one of those days, he lives. When things aren't going the way that you want, he lives. When you don't know what's going to happen to you next, he lives. See, that's the power. He lives. I mean, that was Luther's hope. That's our hope. I mean, that's why we've gathered to rejoice this morning. It's why we gather in worship and in wonder. He lives. I mean, yes, dying, he took our sin, but living, he fills us, and that's why we rejoice. Even in the darkest moments of our lives that challenge us beyond our ability to stand, whether it's the illness called cancer or a death or a job loss or a relationship failure, whatever, you get to name it, I don't care. You are not alone because he lives. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I were to make my bed in the depths of death, you are there. I love it. Soup to nuts, A to Z, doesn't matter. I don't care where you are. Jesus is with us. Vivit, vivit, he lives, he lives. That's what Luther wrote. An artist once painted a picture, and the title of the picture was The Game of Death. And in this painting, he had a young man playing chess with the devil. And from the position of the pieces, the young man had lost. Also, you could tell that he lost by the look on his face and the smirk on the face of Jesus, or on the face of Satan. And so, as the story goes, a very well-known chessman came and he had heard about the picture, and so he wanted to see it. And he's studying it, and he's looking at all the pieces, where they're at. And after about 10 minutes, he kind of scratches his chin, puts a smile on his face, and says, you know what, I could save that young man. It's really not checkmate. Well, I don't know about that chess man, but I know this. Jesus checkmated Satan. Amen. Jesus checkmated sin. Jesus checkmated death. Look, he's alive. That's the victory that we proclaim and live under today. And it's what we've got to find for ourselves. See, it's not enough that others believe. I mean, others can help us believe, but they can't believe for us. We've all got to come to the tomb, don't we? Just like Peter, we've got to say, is the resurrection too good to be true? Is Jesus really alive? See, our salvation and our forgiveness depend on how we choose to answer that question. I mean, we've made a mess of things. We know that. We're guilty. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. And we're bankrupt. Spiritually and morally, we're bankrupt, for the wages of sin is death. We can't pay the bill. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, He paid the bill. See, that's part of what Calvary is, isn't it? He paid a debt He didn't know. He paid our debt on that tree. And the resurrection proves it. See, you can't have one without the other, by the way. They interpret each other. The cross and the resurrection. You know, the tomb, the empty tomb, and the cross, they always go together. And when we come to Jesus and we find out that He really is alive, that Easter's not some sort of a ruse that people have been deceived into believing for years, when we come to that truth, man, what a difference. Look, I believe today, not because Peter or James or John or any of them said it. I believe today not even because the Bible proclaims it. I believe not because I was so blessed to be raised in a Christian home where my parents believed it. I believe Jesus is alive today because I believe He lives in me. I've experienced Him. Now, they helped me come to faith, but when I came to faith, I knew that I wasn't the same. When I knelt at that altar and I said, Lord, you know, I've got not anything to offer, but if you'll forgive me and save me, I'll do my best to live for you. I can't explain it, but something happened there. And I'm not who I want to be, but I'm sure not who I used to be either. Man, when we find out that Jesus is alive, when that truth finally gets to us, man, it's incredible. You know, there's a story in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is. And in the story, it's about a crippled man. Can't walk, and he's begging at the temple, and that's a good place. Hey, you know, church folks ought to be more generous, right? So he asked Peter and John if, you know, basically held up his cup, and I love, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he rose up and he walked. Actually, he did more than that. It says he went walking, jumping, and leaping into the temple of the Lord. He got touched by the power of Jesus. And when you get touched, it makes a difference. Now, old Peter, he had to answer for what happened. And he said, do you want to know how he was healed? And Peter was pretty clear about this. He said, do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you and to all people of Israel that he was healed in the name and the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. V-I-V-I-T. He lives. He lives and He forgives. You know, there were three crosses on that hill. And somebody once noted that, you know, they all stood for different things. One was the cross of redemption and salvation. And that cross, only Jesus, the perfect Son of God, Son of Man, could bear for us. Only Jesus could bear the cross of redemption. But He was crucified between two criminals, and one criminal, one cross represents scorn and death because that criminal didn't repent, didn't do it. In fact, he mocked and cursed Jesus on the cross. And he died that way. But the last cross, they say, represents that of forgiveness and repentance, because the one criminal, instead of mocking Jesus, said, remember me. Oh, which Jesus was more than willing to do. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, that's right, I will, and today. Not next year, not 1,000. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. There used to be a billboard on I-10 in Louisiana several years ago, and had the cross of Jesus on it, and simply this caption: it's your move. It is. Because of what Jesus did. See, it's our move. He said, here I am, arms wide open. All you got to do, I'm ready. See, all we have to do is to be ready and open, and He will come. Well, some days you just never know how they will end. I don't know, maybe you're having one of those days today. Maybe you got up expecting, well, you didn't expect much to happen today, but you came anyway. Maybe you got up this morning And the truth is, you came not with a lot of hope, but you were just somehow hoping that today and being here would make it better. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know why you're here this morning. I'm gonna hear, it don't matter why you're here. It's not an accident you're here. Amen. See, God has drawn us together here. And he's gathered us together. Yes, for those that have already made our choice about Jesus and found him alive, I mean, we've gathered in celebration of that he's our Savior and he's our Lord and he's our King. But you're not here by accident, even if you don't know him and you're having one of those days. Because today, see, he's calling out to you. And what he's saying is come. And today can change your life. I mean, it can change your eternity, but it is up to you. I mean, if you come to the cross, what you're going to find is how loving our God is. You're going to find that he paid your debt. But you got to know this in order for it to really mean. You got to know he's alive. He lives. He lives. And what happens right now is up to each one. In just a moment, Laura Kelly is going to come and sing for us. And as the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you to step out, because sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes it's taking that first step of faith when we really step out. That's when we find the presence of Jesus. And so if God has called out to you this morning, then while she sings, it's okay. Just come while she sings. It's all right. There's a couple of people on each side that's just waiting to pray with you if you come. But it's your move. It's your move. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Calvary, but we also thank you for the empty tomb. And we thank you that you love us enough to call out to each and every one of us right here and right now. And for each one in this place, may your Spirit speak with absolute clarity and certainty. And I pray that each one here, regardless of where we are in our lives or in our faith, that we will open to you and step out and follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to ask you to stand as Laura sings for us this morning. Go for it, sister.
Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore.
At the cross. And he's alive. If you listen carefully, he says, what can separate me from your love? And the answer is nothing. Nothing in all of life or in death, nothing that ever was and nothing that will ever be can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. He lives. He lives. Dr. Money.
He's alive. Together, he's alive. Because of that, because he lives. You have come to worship. Now let us go in the wonder of his resurrection and share his joy with others. You are dismissed.